We'll turn back to James chapter 3. In verse 13, the passage we read earlier, it raises the question, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Most of us have heard the definition before that knowledge is the accumulation and understanding of facts, where wisdom is knowing how to use those facts in a practical and profitable way. I suppose that's as good a way to look at it as any. Knowledge is having the facts. Wisdom is knowing how to use it. This is talking about a wise man and wisdom. But as we said earlier, there's a contrast. There's wisdom from above, and then wisdom that is stated not from above. And so we're going to look at that in this context of James chapter 3 and verse 16. Let's bow in prayer. Guide us, Father, as we would look at wisdom tonight. We desire your wisdom, not man's wisdom. And as we see this contrast here, I pray, Father, that we would examine our own hearts and minds. In what wisdom are we living in our day-to-day life? We're bombarded with man's wisdom. Help us to know your wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Notice again it does say in verse 15, this wisdom descends not from above. And then in verse 17 it says, but the wisdom that is from above. So that's the contrast. We're not going to turn to it, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul makes the same contrast. He doesn't use the same words, but he does talk about man's wisdom. He talks about God's wisdom. Or in that same context, he also talks about the wisdom of this age. And then he contrasts that with the wisdom that was ordained before the ages. And so you have man's wisdom, the wisdom of this age, wisdom that is not from above, or we have God's wisdom, wisdom that was ordained before the ages, wisdom that comes from above. That's the contrast in 1 Corinthians 2 and then here in James chapter 3. In this contrast, he uses a list of words to describe the two wisdoms. And so we're going to look at that list this evening and just to contrast these two wisdoms. And we'll begin in verse 15. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonical. We'll start with those three words this evening. This man's wisdom, the wisdom of this age, is first earthly. The word there, translated earthly, is epigeos. The word gay or geos is the word for earth, and epi is the word upon. And so epigeos is simply upon the earth, and it's used with reference to that which belongs to the earth. It is often used with a moral sense because when we think of that which belongs to the earth, we think of sin. And so as he speaks of this wisdom that is earthly, he's using it in a moral sense. It's a sinful wisdom that belongs to this earth. It's not from above. It's not a heavenly wisdom. It is a wisdom that belongs to this earth, and because it belongs to this earth, it is a sinful wisdom. And so he says this wisdom is earthly. Secondly, he says it's sensual. Actually, the word there is soulish. Suke is the word for soul. This word is sukikos, soulish. Your translation may use the word natural, or it may simply say unspiritual. And it is used in that sense, soulish versus spiritual, or the natural man versus the spiritual man. It's the same word that's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Natural man cannot understand spiritual things. And so as he says this wisdom is soulish, this wisdom is natural, it is the wisdom of natural man. And when we think of natural man, obviously we think of an unspiritual man. We think of a sinful man. And so once again, not only is this wisdom, this man's wisdom, not only is it earthly, belonging to this sinful earth, but it is also natural man's wisdom in his sinfulness. And so again, an emphasis on the sinfulness of this wisdom. And then he says it's, again, depending on your translation, it's devilish or demonical. It's of the devil. The word here is a word demonical. That's really, I think, the best translation. However, it is it's demonical in the sense that it has its source in Satan. It's earthly, belonging to this earth. It's sinful. It is natural, sinful man's wisdom. But its source, ultimately, is Satan himself. That's where this wisdom of man, this wisdom of this age, really finds its source in Satan himself. And as we continue through some of the words describing this wisdom, we can bring it back to its source in Satan when he said, "I will be like the Most High." That was the beginning of this wisdom, which has become man's, natural man's wisdom, and which has become this earthly wisdom, had its source in Satan when he declared, "I will be like the Most High." Now, as we jump back up to verse 14, we see really the results of this wisdom. Where will this man's wisdom, this natural, sinful man's wisdom, this earthly wisdom, this wisdom that has its source in Satan, where is it going to lead you? What are the results of this wisdom? Well, he says in verse 14, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom will end with bitter envy, with strife, with boasting against the truth, lying against the truth. We'll look at those four thoughts. First, the bitter envying. The word envy here, the word jealousy, combined with the word bitter. I don't think we need to define jealousy. We understand what jealousy is. We understand what envy is. It really, again, bringing it back to its source in Satan, this wisdom, that was part of what Satan was proclaiming when he said, "I will be like the Most High." He was jealous of God and wanted to be like him. And it's a bitter jealousy. It's a jealousy that really results in a bitterness or an anger that's seething within us, and we are jealous and want to be like someone else. And that had its source in Satan. He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to be like God. It was a jealousy that was also a part of his anger towards God. And that's where man's wisdom, the wisdom of this age, this earthly wisdom, will lead to simply a bitter jealousy. You know, that's what Satan used in the Garden of Eden to attack Adam and Eve. God said, "You will surely die when you eat of that fruit." And Satan said, "You'll not die. In fact, you will be like God." Adam and Eve, jealous of God, wanting to be like God, used that wisdom, which has its source in Satan, to conclude that they'll eat of the fruit. Now it is natural man's wisdom. It is an earthly wisdom. Had its source in Satan, with jealousy, with bitterness in their hearts. The other word there in verse 15 or in verse 14 is the word strife. Again, your translation may use the word selfish ambition. It really is a word that refers to an attitude of self-seeking, an attitude of selfish ambition. Man's wisdom, this sinful wisdom, is about self. And we can see that in our society even more today than in the past. everything is about me. Everything is about self. Everything is about how I can advance self. It's all about selfish ambition. It is all selfish seeking. And that is from man's wisdom. We seek after possessions. We seek after position. We seek after power. It's just self-seeking, selfish ambition. That's where man's wisdom will lead us. It'll lead us into bitter jealousy. It'll lead us into this selfish ambition, seeking only that which is good for me, not caring about those around us. Again, that's part of, if you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we see in the last days, perilous times will come. And the first thing mentioned in that list of things that are going to be true in the last days is self-love. In that context, it's the Greek word phileo with the word autos. Philautos, self-love, is the first word that's used to describe man in the last days. Self-love, selfish ambition. The wisdom of this age leads us to that self-love and that selfish ambition. Talks about glory not and lie not against the truth, that glory not or boast not. And it goes with it's boast not against the truth and lie not against the truth. Again, man's wisdom, the wisdom of this age that had its source in Satan, boast against the truth and lies against the truth. Again, go back to Satan. I will be like the Most High. He was boasting against the truth. No one can be like the Most High. But he, in his pride, boasted that he could be like the Most High. He could be like God. Adam and Eve, again, same thing. You'll be like God. And Adam and Eve boasted against the truth. Oh, if I eat of the fruit, I'll be like God. Boasting against the truth. In Romans 1, we read that man will suppress the truth. And one of the ways that man suppresses the truth is by boasting against the truth. The Humanist Manifesto declares, no God will save us. We must save ourselves. That's boasting against the truth. God won't save us. Well, that's not true. Man must save himself. That's boasting against the truth. Or we hear all the time, you can control your own destiny. Well, no, you can't. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You can't control your destiny tomorrow. You don't know what that's going to bring about. Only God can control the future. Or you can do anything you set your mind to. No, you can't. You can set your mind to something, and if God's not in it, it's not going to happen. But it's boasting against the truth, and that is man's wisdom today. You hear those phrases all the time, don't you? You can do anything you set your mind to. You can control your own destiny. It's boasting against the truth. Man in his wisdom thinks that they can save themselves. Man in his own wisdom thinks that he can do anything he sets his mind to. Man in his own wisdom thinks that he can control his own destiny, control the future. It's boasting against the truth. Only God can do that. You know, man will use pseudoscience, if I can call it that, to boast against the truth. That's what evolution's all about. Man does not, in his wisdom, want to acknowledge that God is the creator, because once we acknowledge God as creator, we need to submit to him. And man's not about to submit to God. So in their false science, in their pseudoscience, they come up with evolution. And evolution is a boast against the truth, because man doesn't want to submit to the creator. Man's wisdom leads to a boasting against the truth. It leads to lying against the truth. And some of what we just said, we could throw in there is the false science of man, the false science of evolution is a lie against the truth. But I just look at it this way. Boasting against the truth comes from man's pride. Lying against the truth comes from man's hatred of the truth. And so I just simply make that distinction. It leads kind of to the same conclusion, but one is coming from man's pride and the other is coming from man's hatred for the truth. In both, boasting against the truth and lying against the truth, the result is a suppressing of the truth, as Romans 1 says. And then jump down to verse 16. We see some more results of man's wisdom, this wisdom of this age, the wisdom that has its source in Satan. For where envying and strife are, there is confusion and every evil work. Man's wisdom, the wisdom of this age, this earthly wisdom, results in confusion. The word there is the idea of being unstable, but also the idea of because of the instability, there's confusion, there is chaos. I don't think I need to explain what's going on in our world today as you look around. Isn't that exactly what we see? I mean, there is just confusion, there's chaos, there's instability, and it seems like it's just getting worse and worse. Nobody quite knows what's going on or how to stop what's going on. There's just no God will save us, we must save ourselves. That's the boast against the truth. And man thinks in his wisdom he can save himself, but look at what's really happening. It's getting worse. We're not saving anything. We're just getting into greater confusion and greater chaos and greater terrorism, and the world is falling apart around us because man's wisdom leads to confusion and instability and chaos. And every evil work. Just kind of sums it all up with that, doesn't he? Every evil work. There seems to be no end to the evil that man's wisdom can devise and achieve. Man's wisdom just leads to all kinds of evil. Scripture tells us that evil men and seducers will grow worse and worse. And that's because man will follow his own wisdom, and it leads to every evil work. Let's look at the opposite of that just for a few minutes. We're almost out of time, but let's look at verse 17 where we see God's wisdom. That wisdom which is from above. This is a brighter side of things. That wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Interesting how that is worded. It is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. It kind of separates this list into two groups. The first group only has one word in it, and that's the word purity. It is first pure, then the second group, and he has the other words listed. This word purity, of course, has a moral connotation to it. It's the thought that Christ has indeed called us to himself. He has saved us so that he might present to himself a glorious church not having spot or wrinkle. That's his desire for us, that we would be without spot or wrinkle, that we would be pure before him. And this wisdom from above, God's wisdom, is first pure, and it will lead us to purity. As man's wisdom leads to every evil work, God's wisdom leads us to purity, moral purity before Him. It's peaceable. I'm going to go quickly through these words. It's then peaceable. Man's wisdom leads to selfish ambition and strife. God's wisdom leads to peace. When you think of purity, that first word, that's our relationship with God and our standing before God. These other words now has to do with our relationship with others. And it's peaceable. Scripture on several occasions tells us we need to pursue peace. As much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. We need to pursue peace. And that is commanded throughout Scripture often. Romans chapter 12 says, chapter 14 says, pursue after the things which make for peace. But remember, it's first pure. So it's not peace at all cost. It's not, I have to make peace with everyone, even if it means compromising my purity. No, it's first pure. That's the first priority. And then peaceable. But if I have to compromise my purity in order to have peace with someone, I can't do that. As much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. But not at the expense of purity. It is peaceful, it is gentle. The word gentle, perhaps again your translation uses the word considerate. It's a word that means gentle, considerate, but it really comes from the root word that means to be yielding. To be yielding. To be able to yield to others, not to demand your own way. Wisdom from God is yielding to others. Now, again, it's first pure. We don't yield our purity. But on matters that really are not significant, we need to be yielding to others. We can't just demand our way. That's man's wisdom. Man's wisdom is selfish ambition, seeking for self, seeking what I want and only what I want. God's wisdom is being yielding to others, allowing others to have what they want instead of what I want. God's wisdom is yielding. Easy to be entreated. I really think this word is more the idea, it's being entreated, but it's the idea of easily satisfied. Easily satisfied. Easily content. Again, not that selfish ambition of man's wisdom and only being content if I get my way, but being satisfied no matter what's going on around us. And no matter whether I get my way or not, I'm content. I'm easily satisfied. That's God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. Full of mercy. I like that. Full of mercy. It doesn't just say God's wisdom is merciful. It says it's full of mercy. Is mercy just overflowing out of you towards others? Are you full of mercy? Man's wisdom, again, it's about strife and selfish ambition, and it results in all kinds of confusion and chaos. There's this bitter envying that's filling one's heart rather than mercy filling our heart. And that mercy overflowing to others. And that not desiring vengeance on others when they've wronged us, but rather being merciful even to those who have wronged us. Not demanding that they get their just deserts, but rather being merciful. That's God's wisdom. Full of mercy and full of good fruits. Every branch of your life needs to be bearing good fruit. Without partiality, your translation may say unwavering. This word can really be, it's used in two different ways. One has to do with being impartial. The other has to do with being unwavering. And I won't take the time to explain how you come up with those two thoughts, but this word can be translated either way, unwavering or impartial. I really believe here I like how the New American Standard has translated it. It translated unwavering. It's the idea of not wavering in our decisions and in our judgments. In other words, the idea is God's wisdom is absolute. God's word is absolute. And when we use God's wisdom, there is an absolute right and there is an absolute wrong. There is absolute truth and there is absolute falsehood. And we don't waver between those. It doesn't change from day to day. That's man's wisdom. Man's wisdom, what is true today might not be true tomorrow. What's false today might be true tomorrow. Man's wisdom is no real foundation to it. It's whatever suits their fancy at the time. That's the postmodern society in which we live. Truth is relative. Right and wrong is relative. What used to be wrong is not wrong anymore. God's wisdom is absolute. It's unwavering. What was true 3,000 years ago is true today. What was wrong 3,000 years ago is wrong today. What was right 3,000 years ago is right today. God's wisdom doesn't waver. It's absolute. And then finally, without hypocrisy. God's wisdom doesn't put on a show to hide the heart. God's wisdom, what you see is what you get. There's no ulterior motives. There's no pretenses. There's no hidden agendas. God's wisdom is without hypocrisy. And so we see the two contrasted. Man's natural, sinful wisdom, this earthly wisdom, which has its source in Satan, or we have God's wisdom from above. Which wisdom will we choose? We're bombarded daily with man's wisdom. And if we're not spending time in God's word and getting God's wisdom, we will be easily swayed to accept man's wisdom. It's in God's word that we hear God's wisdom. But if we ignore it, we're not going to be living it. Who is a wise man among you? Endued with knowledge, let him show out of a good life his works with meekness of wisdom. Our life will indeed reflect whose wisdom we are accepting. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we're grateful this evening for our time together. We're grateful for wisdom from above, a wisdom that you have promised to give to us as we humble ourselves before you. And I pray that we would choose your wisdom over sinful man's. In Jesus' name we pray. Shall we stand? Indeed, Father, we are bombarded daily with the wisdom of this age. Help us to put on your whole armor to guard against that wisdom and to accept your wisdom from above. Help us to be faithful in the study of your word where we learn of your wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you and make your way back to the back for some ice cream.